Good to be up here. I'm Chris, by the way. Anyone new today? If not, if you are new, don't put your hand up. It's good to see you. I'll pretend I haven't seen you, but it's good to see you. If you're not new, fantastic. It's great that you're still here. And I haven't driven you away. Yeah, so this morning we're going to be speaking on... I'm going to be speaking on freedom and glory through and in Christ. Now, on the back of your, for those who take notes, I was kind of clever this week, and I put bullet points on the three headings and the challenge at the end of the service. So if you want to read ahead, you're more than welcome to. But yeah. So many times we hear the words, we do, don't we, as Christians, we hear the words, we're set free in and through Christ. But what does it mean? How are we set free? Is it a physical breaking of bonds? Is it the chain comes off the foot? And what are we set free from? And what does freedom as a Christian look like? And what does it cost? And how do we attain it? Or is it just a huge metaphor? Today I want to remind us of the freedom that comes through Christ for those who believe in him. And if you're sitting here today and you don't believe in him, this is for you as well, because there's freedom from your lives, that your old lives, to be set free. I'm just going to read some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." John 8:36. "So if the Son sets you free, you are indeed." Galatians 5:1. "It is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Ephesians 3:12. "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Nothing said there says that we're slaves to the old ways, slaves to our old lives. This is freedom. I went on a health thing. It was called Insanity. Yeah, I did that. I failed. Yeah. I caused an injury, the amount of exercise you had to do. I caused an injury and I ended up not doing it. But this particular exercise program, Insanity, and he described it, and I believe it's a quote from Einstein or something like that. But insanity is explained as doing the same thing again and again, and again and again, and again and again, and expecting different results. That is the cycle of life, isn't it? We go through, you know, without God, we can go through life and we can just go cycle. We can go do our normal things we do. But until we're set free, setting free is where the joy of the Lord comes and the freedom comes. It's amazing. Just going to read this particular passage. This is from 2 Corinthians 3:7 onwards. "Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily in the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory through it, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was righteous had no glory now in comparison to the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came from..." I've said that completely wrong. Transitory. This isn't the Bible I'd normally use. My personal one isn't this version, NIV. Transitory. "Came with glory. How much greater is the glory that come which lasts? Therefore. We know what that means, don't we? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same vow remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the vow covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the vow is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the presence of God. There's three things I got from that. There's probably a lot more, but the three things I'm going to concentrate on. The presence of God. Let's compare, because Paul is compared going back. He's going back to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. He's going back there. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament and then dabble in the New Testament as well. So the Old Testament narrative. So what was the expectation from the pattern from the Old Testament? We read the Old Testament, don't we? I mean, how many of us read the Old Testament? I hope all of you put your hands up. Yeah, it's the forecoming, the foreshadow of what's to come. So it tells the story of why Jesus came. You know, fulfilling the fact he is the Messiah, the chosen one that is to come. That come, they're still here. But the presence of God was key to everything with the Israelites. They had the visual. And it's what made the difference between the Jew and the Gentile nations. The Israelites, wherever they went, if they followed the Lord, their foes were defeated. Their enemies were defeated. But when they went without the Lord's presence, and in their own strength, they were defeated. And this comes down to obedience. When they failed to follow God's law and listen to his leading, they kind of followed their own way. I mean, I can get that. Can we get that? It's easy to try and say, I become a Christian at 25. Well, I've had 25 years of knowing what's best. It's easy to set back into an old pattern of what was yesterday, how I did things, my responses, which you've grown up with. But something else the Israelites had was this physical presence they could see. So they could cling to God. So when they was up Mount Sinai, when Moses was up Mount Sinai, there was a physical presence. When there was a tent in the desert, physical presence. When the cloud of pillar and the pillar of fire by night, presence of God. When they built the temple, whether that being the tent or the temple going forwards, the presence of the God was there. And if you went near that presence, you knew that God was there. Yeah. So Moses, and he is a man. Moses was a man, a prophet. He is a man called by God to set the captives free, to set the Israelites free from physical slavery. And he could go near the presence of God. And he did it. He had the burning bush, didn't he? He had the experience with God. Everything he learned up to the age of 40 was used. But he had that experience, the burning bush. God told him to go back and set the captives free. Go back and set the people free. So he did. A little bit of umming and ahhing, obviously. But he did go back and set them free. But out of that, you know, when you read it, I don't know if you're doing Bible in a year at the moment, but at the moment we're on, it's just gone past Moses. It's gone past the plagues. And when you read about the plagues, it's like, oh man. Oh, You know, all the firstborns were killed. Wow. Wow. Is that a different God? No. Same God. Same holy God. But yeah, God was... But Moses, in his actions, God got the glory, didn't he? So, when they followed Moses, they went to the Red Sea. There's no way forward. Who got the glory? God, because God parted the sea. It wasn't Moses. God got the glory. And after the Exodus, the Egyptians and Pharaohs, when they escaped them, they arrived at Mount Sinai. The Israelites encountered the Lord, but they were fearful. They could see the presence of the Lord. When the Lord come down the mountain, well, there was thundering. They was trembling. They had a physical something they could see, they could smell, they could not touch, but they could. It was there. God was there. And the sheer presence of God made the Israelites tremble. But despite God's promises of his presence, they still went wrong. Yeah, even though Moses was told, you know, in Exodus 33:14 it says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.'" That's a promise that God's going to be with them. But they still mucked up. And then when Moses went up the mountain, I mean, I don't know how long it took to get up this mountain, but he spent time with God. He come down, his face was glowing, radiating. And this is what Paul goes on to, but his face was glowing. And the Israelites couldn't deal with that. That sheer presence of God was radiating reflecting onto him. He was truly set apart, truly different. Let's look at the New Testament narrative on that. So Paul is referring to in the 2 Corinthians, he's referring to the Old Covenant, the glory of the Lord that faded. Moses had to go up to the mountain to God. But when he wasn't in the presence of God, his face it glowed for a while. It's a bit like a fire. No, everyone loves a fire, don't they? Bonfire in the garden. I don't know if it's a man thing, but we're just like burning stuff. That's why men seem to take over with barbecues, I think. It's like, yeah, fire. I like fire. I have fire. You just stare at it for ages and you're just lost, transfixed. But it's a bit like, you know, when Moses going up there in the presence of God, it's like that picture of standing next to a bonfire where the heat radiates, you reheat, and the face comes red, it glows. And then you go away and you're still warm. It's freezing in November when you're at bonfire nights, but you're still warm. Yeah, I'm warm, yeah! Because you've had that, it's like transference of the fire in us. But after a while, I'm getting cold. I need hot chocolate. Because the trouble is, Moses didn't possess the presence of God in him. It was what was being reflected onto him from God. For us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, the presence of God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The same Holy Spirit that spoke at creation and said, and hovering, before creation happened, it's in us. Same Holy Spirit that was there when Moses, same Holy Spirit was there at Jesus' baptism, is in each and every one of us. And I'm telling you, the enemy does not want you to fully comprehend that. God marks in Ephesians 1:13, says that God marks those who believe with the seal of the Holy Spirit. He says in his word, there's a promise from God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. And other scriptures declare this true. So 1 Corinthians 3:16, Romans 8:9, John 14:16. The list is big. When we accept Christ as our Saviour, Holy Spirit comes in us. The Lord's presence is in us. Now think about that for a while. Think about that. Do you know who you are? He talks about our identity being in Christ. Yes, I'm into that. But go one step back. The Holy Spirit is in us. The same Holy Spirit that can was there when the parting of the Red Sea, the same Holy Spirit is up Jesus' baptism, is in each and every one who accept Christ. And we underestimate who we are. Situations come, situations happen, and we underestimate who we truly are. We're in Christ. Christ in us. Holy Spirit in us. We're set free. He said we're set free. So that means we're set free. If we want, you know the picture of the how they train an elephant in India. Whether it's India, there might be other places. But you know, when the elephant is little, has a little tag around, has a chain, and has a nail in the floor. And the elephant realizes, I can't escape. I can't escape. As the elephant grows up, as the chain stays on, but the elephant still thinks he can't escape. The elephant is a monster. Have you ever stood up to an elephant? I haven't. There's probably people here who have stood near an elephant. Well, I've seen one in a zoo, yeah? And they're huge. I couldn't imagine an elephant being held by a flimsy little bit of chain with a nail in the floor. It'd just go, what's this? It's got no power over me. Now put that onto us. Who we are in Christ. Who we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are warriors. You're mighty men and women of God who can change the world. Every single one of us here could change the world. This isn't me just trying to encourage you and equip you. Come on, church, come on. This is the truth. It says it in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is in us. And when we grasp that concept, nothing will ever be the same. Satan. It's a name we don't really like to talk about. We kind of say, the enemy, or the devil, Satan, and his little minions. They bow their knee to Jesus. Now, if Satan bows his knee to Jesus, and at the end of time, Satan's going to be judged and thrown in the pit, the fiery pit. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. He says in when a particular piece of scripture, can't remember exactly where, but it says where that they was going around and trying to get demons out of people, and they responded and said, "Well, I know Paul, I know Jesus, don't know you," because they didn't have the Holy Spirit, they didn't know Jesus. We all know Jesus. We know the power, we know the might, that the name of Jesus, the fact that said before, but when Jesus was woken up in the boat, get up, get up, get up. He speaks to the waves and the waves stop. He speaks to the wind and the wind stops. He has authority over the elements. He's able to walk on water. Peter, full of faith, when Jesus called him out onto the water, come and walked on water. We either believe this book or we don't believe nothing in it. It's either the Word of God or it's a pack of lies. It's the Word of God. So when the Israelites, when they encountered the presence of God, yeah, they was experienced from the outer. When they encountered the presence of God, they trembled with fear. What do we do? Holy Spirit, not fearful. This is our Saviour. Now, Jesus is our Saviour. It's our relationship with Him. And it challenged me. Why is it sometimes I think that some mountains are big, when in truth they're not? They're stumbling blocks. And things happen, and then things are horrible sometimes. And you can't imagine why you'd be going through that. But we also have the promise that God will be with us. Like that, the poem, Footprints, that God is going to carry us when we need to be carried. That's a promise. God's going to be with us. I'm blown away by that. But then we come on to understanding. It says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So this here, right, this is my illustration for today. This here is my car manual. I've got a little card in front, my radio, the battery goes on my radio. I can it resets and I put in the number. It's really good. It's a Ford Mondeo. It's brilliant. Love the car. It's an amazing car. I'd recommend that to most people. It tells you what size fuses you need. Yeah, thank blows. It tells you what the buttons do, what the lights mean. You know, when you get that engine light come on, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. But I could study this every day of the week, couldn't I? And I'd really know what my car could do. Could I ever drive it? No. I've got no way. They don't teach me how to drive a car, does it, Donna? You have to get in the car and learn how to get in the car. And when you pass your test, you then learn how to drive again. You do. You pass your test, and you learn how to pass your test, and then you learn how to drive. But just because I read this manual doesn't mean that I understand what it's actually like to drive a Mondeo or any Ford car, really. And it's similar in the revelation of God, of Jesus Christ, as the Saviour of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And without Him, we have no access to God. So no other idol in this world will give you access to God. It's only bowing a knee at Jesus will give us access, accepting Him. The Israelites feared the presence of the Lord. Well, Moses didn't, but the Israelites did fear the presence of God. But we do not fear to tread where Jesus has shown a way. 2 Corinthians 3, 12 to 16 again. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day the same vow remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a vow covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the vow is taken away. The whole of the Old Testament is the story of Jesus coming. If we can't accept that Jesus came, and that whole of the Old Testament is a lot of rules. But Jesus fulfilled them rules. If we want access to the Father, Once we believe, once we accept that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour, there is no veil. No veil. There's no curtain. There's no net. We're in a day and age where people don't really have nets, do they? I've got no nets in my house. It used to be, my mum had nets. We used to go to Pollard's and get some new nets and all that stuff. You still got nets? Yeah, yeah, still got nets. See, there's nothing wrong with having nets. For you, not for me. But have you noticed when you try to, you know, when you got a net on your, not a net as in a name, as in a net. Have you noticed that if you try to look through it, you can't really see it properly. You strain it. Oh, yep. You end up having curtain twitch, didn't you? And have a little looky. Pull the net back to, oh no, they've seen me. There's a good picture there. That the veil, it doesn't give you a full picture of God. So with the Old Testament, the Israelites, they didn't have this full picture of God. We do. We have revelation of Jesus Christ. We have understanding of who he is. We have understanding who we are in Christ. And the beauty, the wonderful thing about the revelation of Jesus Christ is it does not fade. The Holy Spirit does not fade. He's there every single day. You wake up in the morning. Hello. You wake up in the afternoon. Depends what age you're at. You wake up in the evening if you're a night worker. Hello. Holy Spirit is there. And he's there as a companion. He's there as that wonderful counselor. He's there to impact your lives. Because your lives aren't yours anymore. They belong to Christ. He paid a price for them lives. So what about our hearts? Ezekiel was a prophet. And he shared a word about the future in Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Do you know, there's so many metaphors and hidden meanings which you know, as you read. So what does that mean? I'm going to give you a new heart. You can't. No, the Lord can give you a new heart. He can. That's what I noticed about my own conversion. Yeah, my heart changed. Yeah, I still love Jews. That's fine. I become less selfish. And I wanted to put others first. Because that's what Jesus would want. And I didn't do it because I was told to do it. All of a sudden, you want to do it. You want to love others. And that verse does have a couple of potential connotations. I learned that particular word from my youngest son. So your heart changes to being towards the things of God and God. Your heart changes to love others. Your heart changes to, do you know what? You can't love others unless you love yourself. I'm not saying we should go around saying, I'm amazing, I'm wonderful. But you can't pour from an empty glass. If you don't value love in yourself, then how can you value love in, how can you know what love is for others? Your heart lets people in. Your heart learns to trust. And of course the other side is your heart also learns to let go. If Jesus forgave us, then the things that happen, if something happens to us, then we're told to forgive others. All these are part of the process of unveiling of ourselves to God in his presence. And they lead to freedom. Probably my shortest talk ever. To conclude. Now the Spirit of the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I've said that a few times. Because I want you to understand it. It's not a lie, it's a promise. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord resides, there is freedom. And we, all who have unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. And being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Transformation is key there. Transformation into the likeness of Christ. We don't become Christ, we become like, we like him. Jesus came to set the captives free. But how free are you? There's no point in giving a talk unless you examine yourself first. You can't teach from a place if you've not been there yourself. And freedom is, it's easy, it's not easy to grasp it. When I first believed, transformation straight away, things changed in my life. Things did change. But in many ways I'd replaced that freedom, that what was the old ways, by new rules. So I started following new rules. But in Christ it's not like that. Christ fulfills the rules. We are called to submit to him. And by submitting to him in love, we fulfill the rules, the laws. But in submitting to him, so I was in the wrong place. I got a few perplexed faces. I was trying to explain that a bit more. So I'll give you a great example. So we become friends with missionaries, love them to bits. And they started teaching us some of the Bible. And they told me and Susie that on Sunday, we are not allowed to do any work. You know, no hoovering, Susie. No cleaning up. All these rules. No TV. Yeah, what? No. And for us, we thought that that was what... We're new to this. We thought this is what it's about. Okay, that's fine. I'll do that because I love Jesus. It's what I've got to do. But after a while, we become very tired because we try to fulfil these rules. And actually, freedom in Christ is more than that. It was when we discovered and encountered the Holy Spirit was when things changed. So, okay. We will try to keep Sunday. We're doing well. Actually, I'm a pastor, and I've got to work on Sunday. But you know, you try and put aside time to rest. But it become more than just rules. Does that help? Yeah, good. That's good. I didn't want to leave a question there that you don't follow any rules, because you do. Rules are good, but it's how we follow them. It's our heart. So as I say, Jesus came to set captives free. And this was for me, this was, did religion hold me back? It did. How is your balance though? I've looked at myself this past week and a bit, and assessing certain things in my life. How's your balance? You know, like, where's God? On the scale for you. as in your relationship with God. Because everything else stems from your relationship with God. So there was going to be a demonstration of... So let's just say life, yeah? Life has many different boxes. So we have work. We have those who don't work, who do a lot of... Yeah. Do you know what? Retired people, I don't know how they have time to work. And it's true, my father-in-law says it, and I don't know how he had time to work. But there's many different things that we do in life, like looking after the children. Yeah, put that on top of if you've got to work as well. Yeah, you then got to balance the home as well, like cleaning, all that sort of malarkey that has to be done. And you put that in a big, huge box. And then you get this little Jesus box, and you put it on top. And there he sits. And that's wrong. You're putting Jesus isn't an add-on. That should be thrown away. It's Jesus middle. And out of Jesus, out of our relationship with God, life flows. So work-life balance. Where's Jesus in my life? Is other things in our life above Jesus? Well, then we need to look at them. Where is other, like, okay, childcare. You've got to do childcare. It's life. But we can do it from a different place if we put Jesus at the center. So it flows from Jesus. So how we parent flows from Jesus. That's what I learned. Because otherwise, you can put too much on the. It's like becomes a burden. So you've got to do this. You've got to do that. So sometimes, you know, I know from myself, becoming a minister, I had to give up a career. You know, every year, I mean, my company do this, but they do a review. They do it twice a year actually, and every time they now say, "So where do you see yourself in 12 months?" Well, not here. Do you want to go up on the career ladder, Chris? No, I'm happy here. I don't need to go up the career ladder because I tell them one day I won't be working for you. It for me, okay, that was what God put on for me, to put God first. Yeah, and but other people, that's not the same. We're all different. We're all individual. We are all individual. We've all got different responsibilities. But it's kind of that place that we're at in our relationship, whether that becomes more important than God. So it's not saying any of them things are wrong, because they're not. Looking after children is right. We shouldn't have children and just leave them indoors. And I'll come back to you in 20 years. Hey, Donna. Because we have to parent. We have to do these things. It's life. And life is busy. But in that equation, God's at the centre. And that is where our freedom comes from. Because the other things we do become freer. Freeing. If I was to say... Yeah, there's a difference in volunteers. If I was to say to someone... I'm beyond their back. I want you to get here early. Right? I need someone. God said, I need someone to come and set up the chairs, and God's shown me you. When that person comes, do you know how reluctant they'd be? Yeah. I don't. Oh, Chris made me come. Walking in, grumpy. Chris made me come. Oh, where do you want the chairs? You're like, there. But if someone feels that actually I want to serve the church out of love, there's a different attitude. Do you know what? I might pray for these chairs. You know, that's as they're doing it, as they're going round, this is what God's put on my heart to do, to come and serve the church in putting out chairs. Do you know what? Is that the right angle? Can they fully engage? Shall I pray for them chairs that they'll be full? We'll pray that there's not a non-Christian sits there and they come to know the Lord. Different attitude. So I'm never going to tell you, you've got to come. You can come. But yeah. But do you understand what I'm saying? Freedom is different. Well, that's what I got from it anyway. So as I say, how's your balance? Does fear of what people might think of you hold you back? And what does freedom look like to you? I mean, you might be in, everyone's in a different situation. You might be in a completely different situation. But what does freedom look like to you? So today, band's going to come up. So if you want to give God your burdens and take them to the cross, if you want prayer, then do you know what? You can pray in your chairs. There's nothing special about prayer ministry team. It just sometimes getting up and going over the threshold makes a difference, makes an impact on people. Well, they are special. We're all special. So if you want prayer, and if it, you know what, if you want to receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll have a go. We'll pray. That's all we can do. And if you don't know Lord Jesus today, come and see us. If that's something that interests you, your freedom, being set free, come and see us. Or if you just want to worship, just worship. That's fine. There's no pressure today. What do you want to do? Amen.